Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Freedom!
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your hosts, Drew Tignanelli and Tim Maurer.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and Timothy J. Maurer is in the house. TJ?
Whew, Drew, it's getting colder and colder out there.
And it's getting, seems like more and more difficult to get anywhere around the Beltway, isn't it?
It does seem, you know, the holiday fervor, maybe people are just a little... Maybe enjoying themselves a little bit more. Maybe they're just really stressed out. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Marylanders don't like snow.
They do not. They don't know what to do when it happens. And I'm one of them. I mean, born and bred here, so I'm making fun of myself when I say that.
Anyway, we have a guest tonight, and we're just going to go right in because we've got a big guest tonight that I think everyone will learn a lot from. So why don't we go right into it, TJ?
I'd be glad to introduce Drew. Ed Slott, he was named the best source for IRA advice by the Wall Street Journal and called America's IRA expert by Mutual Funds Magazine. He is a nationally recognized IRA distribution expert, a professional speaker, and the creator of several public television specials, including the most recent Ed Slott's Retirement Rescue. Ed is a regular on just about every major media outlet imaginable, and I'm especially humbled to have him join us tonight because he was kind enough to write the foreword for my last book. He is the author of several best-selling books that Drew and I are happy to recommend, including his newest that we'll be discussing tonight, Fund Your Future, a Tax-Smart Savings Plan in Your 20s and 30s. Ed, thank you very much for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Hey, Ed, you know... It's interesting you've written this book to 20- and 30-year-olds because usually IRA 401k articles are about retirement planning. You're usually talking to the 60s and 50s and 60-year-olds. But you've addressed the 20s and 30s. Why did you want to do this?
Yeah, it's true. When you say IRAs and 401ks, that's old people talk.
Yeah. Like Tim
young
and
people.
I. Well,
young
Tim.
People
Tim's
say,
a
what's
young
that?
Person.
Where do you even get that?
Sure.
And why would you want to do it? And I said the same thing when I was in my 20s. But when it comes to money, there's the biggest single money-making opportunity is time. And young people have more of it than anyone else, and they don't use it. It's wasted. So all of the concepts I tell people at the other end of the spectrum at retirement, they would be in a lot better shape if they had this book 30, 40 years prior to get the process started, because it's the greatest money-making asset anyone can possess, time. Yeah. Compound interest, the eighth wonder of the world, Einstein called it, and the math is there. And if you take advantage of these principles, and it's easy when you're younger to get into a habit. The problem now is baby boomers, people in their 50s, even 60s, is turning around and say, wow, now what do I do? Life happened. I never really saved. I was paying my bills, putting my kids through college, taking care of my parents, and now I wake up and what do I do now? I don't have enough time. Every article talks about either worried about running out of money in retirement or not having enough time, or the time horizon is so short that it's overwhelming. How could I possibly put away 50, 60, 100,000 a year starting now? Well, if you could put away 2, 3, 4, or 5,000 a year in your early years, in your 20s and 30s, you'll be in much better shape.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of this book. And I made it. I don't know if you have a physical copy.
Yeah, I
of
do.
Book.
We've got a lot of them, and actually we're going to be giving them away tonight.
Well, it's a not, if you look at it, I made it very
simple.
20s and 30s friendly. By that I mean short and easy to read.
And lots of big pictures in it.
Between text, they can almost read it.
Tim, you got a bunch of books you're going to give away tonight, right?
We do. Ed, we're going to be doing some giveaways, one in each section of the show here this evening. We have four books, so I will not say yet, but at a certain point here in the not-too-distant future, we're going to remind you to give Noah Dankner, our esteemed producer, a call at 410-922-6680, but wait until we tell you, and then the first caller will be receiving one of Ed Slott's
newest books. I think you ought to do the 82nd caller.
The 82nd caller. We could do something messy like that, Drew. Maybe in the second part of the show. Ed, you know, you're absolutely right. I can't tell you how many times Drew and I have heard from clients who were in their 50s and 60s.
Right.
Gosh, I wish we'd gotten to know you guys.
I actually did this, had the idea for people I deal with, like you as advisors. Who do you deal with? Mostly older people.
Sure.
So this is a great gift for your grandkids and your kids. And the reason this book, Fund Your Future, if you're looking for it, it's called Fund Your Future, a Tax Smart Savings Plan in Your 20s and 30s, is so valuable is that it's very simple lessons, but the people that it's directed to in 20s and 30s are in the biggest transition years of their life, coming out of college, maybe getting married, maybe getting a first job, taking on new debt, buying a home, having kids, changing jobs. All of this happens in a span of maybe 5 or 10 years, and people I know, some people who work for me, they do it all in 1 year.
Yeah.
So Warren Buffett called it snowball. You know, take a little snowball and start rolling it down the hill.
That's right.
It's not going to do anything but get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, the average young person doesn't realize this. They think that they can save for retirement when they
later.
Get older. That's what Tim was saying. That's what we deal with, right,
Absolutely.
Tim?
Absolutely.
We get all these people who come to us and say, I wish I knew you earlier, you know?
Yeah, I wish I knew you a long
time.
When
I do speaking events around the country, we bring these. Most of the people that come to my seminars are retirees, 50s, 60s, 70s. But they eat up these books to give to their kids and grandkids saying, you know, if I had this, if I had started, you know, if. Well, you don't have to do if I. You can do it when you're younger. And the amazing part is it's probably not going to affect your lifestyle. And at the end, or when you're approaching retirement at 60, 65, 70, whatever the age is for you, you will be amazed if you stay on course that you won't have to worry about Social Security or even taxes if you follow the steps in my book, Fund Your Future.
Ed, we're about to go to our first break, but real quickly, I'd like you to just give us one thing that is notably different about planning for retirement for people in their 20s and 30s than it may have been for their parents.
Oh, the big thing is tax-free. When we saved, I'm going to be 60 next year. I couldn't even say the word, but I said it.
It's out.
In my 50s, but it doesn't even count. I'm already 59, so it doesn't even count. But when I started saving in IRAs and people my age and older, IRAs, 401k, everything that came out was tax deferred, which sounded good at the time. Tax deferred, you get a tax deduction. Only to realize there would be a day of reckoning, which happens in retirement when tax rates might be higher, and you have to pay it all back.
Mm-hmm.
A portion of all the gains over those years is owed right back to the government. What's different now for young people, they can start with something as simple as a Roth IRA and have all that growth grow tax-free for them for the rest of their lives.
At least we hope it'll be the rest of our lives. If Congress,
be.
Yeah, well, you never know with Congress, though, do you? But I agree with you. It probably will be. But we have to take a sort of a break. But what do you have to say, Timmy?
Right before we do, I encourage you to call in right now. We're going to give away one of Ed Slott's new books, Fund Your Future. Call us at 410-922-6680. The very first caller, in this case, will receive that free book, 410-922-6680. But right now,
we're
take
going
it away.
To traffic Mary. With Maggie Hunter.
Oh, Maggie Hunter.
Maggie Hunter. Take it away, Maggie.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. And look at Noah there coming up with that. Time.
He's
you need
wizard.
Time to raise money and
a
accumulate
wizard on the board, Drew.
You know, hey, Ed. What I guess people can get this book on Amazon.com. What's the typical price for it? Ed, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, what's the price of your book at Amazon?
I don't even know. Maybe it's $10, maybe less in places. It's very, you know, compared to the rewards of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's a mere pittance.
But I think it's about—I don't even know—it's maybe 11. The book says $12.95, but I think maybe you can get it for less.
Amazon changes the price.
Can
too.
You get it on your website, Ed?
Yeah, you go to IRAHelp.com. Again, it probably just takes you to Amazon or something, but I'm not sure.
That's great. That's a great website you have, IRAHelp.com.
Yeah, IRAHelp.com. You could also go to theslotreport.com, too.
Yeah, that's good.
SLOTTReport.com.
Hey, Ed, one of the typical things that the young people will say is, look, this is great, compounding and all this kind of stuff is great, but I just don't have any money to save right now.
Everybody has money. I see the money they waste, and that's a big point I make in the book. There's so much money wasted, and I go right back to the old adage, pay yourself first. Take it off the top. Make it an automatic, a process, no matter what transition. I talked about all the transitions young people go through. There's always something. Oh, I'm getting married. Oh, we're having a kid. We're doing this. Oh, I got to go to the movies. Mm-hmm. There will always be a reason to waste money on things that don't provide a true long-term return. You have to really understand, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, the difference between an expense and an investment. You know, it depends on the money you spend. An expense to me is something that has no return. I mean, you might have some limited enjoyment on something, but there's no long-term return. It depends how you spend your money. But if you put money in an investment, there is long-term return. Mm-hmm. So you got to take it off the top, and you just have to get into a habit. And there's no question, there's no magic formula, there's all kinds of shows, but if you don't put money away, you won't have any when you need it.
You know, when somebody graduates college, the old saying is, it's amazing how my expenses keeping up with my income as my income grows higher and higher.
Right. You always manage, if you think about it, to live on what you have. So if you took a few dollars off the top every week, you'd live on that. You wouldn't even miss it. And at the end, as you see your, say, Roth IRA start growing, you might even be more motivated to contribute at work and build these accounts for your future.
But young people, though, really have a lot of pressure on them to keep up with the Joneses, to buy that nice car, to keep their kids in the best clothes, to keep the buying the house bigger and bigger and so forth and so forth.
You know, that's the trap. I know this doesn't relate. You know who John Bogle is.
Yeah, right.
From Vanguard. I just saw a quote by him about saving money. Not that I'm saying this to anybody, but he said something. I think it was in Money Magazine or something I just read. I don't remember where. He said, I haven't bought a suit since 1995. It's amazing the money you can save on clothes.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, and he's partly right about that. But one of the things I have found, Ed, is that one of the greatest difficulties that young people today are having, people are getting themselves established financially. It's not so much about the lattes and the iPhones as it is about the cost of housing. I think
right.
that with housing as expensive as it is, especially in certain areas like where you live and where Drew and I live here in the Baltimore, Washington metro, it's a real challenge for households to establish themselves in a neighborhood that has a decent enough school system. Do you have any guidance for those who are looking to keep their housing costs, their biggest bill, under control?
One of the first things you can do, and that is an issue, you want to live in a nice place. You graduate from college. I know I have daughters who graduated from college, and you feel like you did everything right. You put your time in. And now, even if you do get that first job, it's just not enough.
Sure.
And one thing to do is, in this transition phase where maybe you're not buying your first home as a family, but maybe just a place to live as a single person, again, in the 20s or even 30s, whatever, maybe getting a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
That's something my daughter
Absolutely.
Did to cut costs in half, and they found that they could, find a double. They could pay double
sure.
for a nicer spot. And, it's not perfect because everybody likes to be free. But if you get the right person, that's one idea. And you have to look for things like that. You can't always keep up with the Joneses, as you said. That's surely a path to disaster because you can never keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. Look at Forbes magazine. If one guy has $40 billion, the other guy has to have $41 billion.
Yep.
Hey, Ed, here's probably one of the biggest questions I get from young people, and that is I only have so much money to save. Should I put it into my 401k, which does not have a Roth feature, or should I put it into a Roth IRA, you know, just as a contributory Roth? What do you say?
Well, I think you know the answer. Obviously, if there's matching, you do that because that's free money in the plan,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Roth or not. Still, you never turn down free money.
Right. So what you mean by that is just you're talking about the match. You put in
right.
yeah, so much money and they're going to match it, right?
Right. I mean, that you don't turn down.
And that's normally like 6% of your pay normally
whatever.
You're going to get
every
matched.
Every company is a little different.
A little different, but that's the standard for 6%. So
right.
you're saying
right.
you do that first, right?
Right. Then I would go to a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm. So then you would save the rest of the money outside of the 401k in the Roth.
Yeah.
If they have more.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever you can do, just because you can put $5,500 in a Roth doesn't mean you have $5,500. You put $1,000 in. Mm-hmm. At least it's a start.
Yeah. A start is a great thing, as Warren Buffett said. The snowball. You want to get
right.
that snowball rolling.
And the other thing is don't try and do it all at once. Maybe if you take a little off the top or have an automatic deposit to a Roth IRA, even if, depending on the investment, how, you know, what the minimums are, what
sure.
they'll take. You get something in there at every paycheck if you can, because at the end of the year, it is hard to come up with $1,000, $2,000, or $5,000. But it's not that hard to come up for most people for $25, $50, or $100 out of a paycheck, maybe.
Ed, you know, and you're a tax guy, and tax guys often love homeownership because of the benefits of a tax deduction on the mortgage. What do you think about young folks today? You mentioned your daughters. They're just getting established right out of college. What are your recommendations in terms of homeownership, yay
well,
or nay at this stage of the game?
A homeowner is one of those expenses that I don't consider technically an expense, an investment, because it's coming right back into equity,
mm-hmm.
except for the interest payments. And, again, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Not everybody's going to get help, or you have to. That's why they have starter houses. You know, you can't make magic. I never like to do like these shows do that make it seem like magically you'll be able to afford things.
Sure.
You have to start. It's exactly like you said, small, and build. And if it may not be the perfect home, that's why you may have to go through one, two, or three homes before you find the place for you, if you even want a home. People move around a lot. Maybe it's not a great idea to buy right away and maybe rent. But then the other side of the argument is, well, you're throwing that money away. It could have been equity in a home. But if you can't afford a home, you have to be realistic and practical.
You know, one of the common mistakes I see, Ed, is somebody works for a company for, especially young people, they work for a company 4 or 5 years, they accumulate $6,000 or $7,000 in their 401k plan, they go to a new company, and then they withdraw.
I know, that's the biggest mistake, because it's such a big chunk of money, and now they're thinking, well, now I can afford a home. That's not the money you use for a home. That's the most expensive money, especially if it's a 401k, because you're going to get hit with tax and maybe a penalty depending on the amounts of 10%. There is an exception for first-time home buyer, but it's limited. That's not the money to use.
No, absolutely.
That's expensive money.
Absolutely. It's not the money to use. You know, the other major expense that the 20 and 30s and 40s have mm-hmm. is when their children hit that college age, they want to send them to Princeton and Harvard and places like that.
Right.
And to me, that's a big, big, big...
Well, not everybody. You know, that's tapering off. That's part of keeping up with the Joneses. And you see more articles of people going to reasonably priced schools. There's nothing wrong with those schools, and I've always found it's not what school you go to, it's what you make of where you go. For example, you know, when we grew up, my brother, my sister, and I, my father didn't make that much at all. Matter of fact, after he died and I saw his tax returns, I was shocked how we even ate. I couldn't believe it. He was making $18,000 a year. Yeah, how do you even raise a family? Anyway, we all went to community college. It cost me like $400 a semester, you know, and that was fine. It's what you make out of it.
Right.
You know, it's what you do with what you have.
I'm not...
And we all worked, and maybe you have to work.
Heaven forbid.
You know, we just knew that getting help from our parents, that wasn't even an option.
I've had a few clients withdraw monies from their 401ks to put their children through very expensive schools.
Wow.
And
I just shake my head. Especially with kids now, a lot of kids change majors. They don't know what they really want to do. Not that I knew what I wanted to do. I just knew I wasn't changing majors because I wasn't going to pay for it. Really, that's the only reason I went through 4 years of accounting. I did hate every minute of it. I just knew I'm not changing this. I'm going straight through 4 years and getting out. That's what I did. But the first 2 years, again, back to maybe a community college where you find your way. If you're not really driven and you don't really know, or your kids don't really know what they want to do, and they're still like finding themselves or finding their niche or starting in one major,
right,
switching, find that out for less money at
there
a community college.
Yeah. Hold on, Ed. Wait a minute. We got to take another break.
Right.
But Timmy's going to give away another two
All
books.
Right, good.
Two books.
Indeed. We've got two more books right now. Callers number one and number two, 410-922-6680. A free copy of Ed Slott's Fund Your Future. But right now, we'll go to Maggie Hunter with traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Ed Slott is with us, and we're talking about his book, Fund Your Future, A Tax-Smart Savings Plan in Your 20s and 30s. How using 401ks, IRAs, especially those Roth IRAs, can really help you accumulate money such that when you turn 65 or so, if you start in your 20s or 30s, you may not even have to ever worry about if Social Security's here or not. And I think it's a great lesson for everyone. But Ed, what I wanted to go on to and talk about is that when clients come to see us, we're comprehensive financial advisors. When clients come to see us, we're constantly reviewing their tax returns and finding mistakes. Mistakes on their IRAs, mistakes in their 401ks, and things of that sort. What are some of the most common mistakes that you hear about and so forth with IRAs, 401ks?
Well, anytime the money is moved, that's where we see the mistakes. Remember, this is tax-deferred money, the IRA and 401k money, and even a simple rollover, moving it from a plan to an IRA. People make the mistake of taking the money out and depositing it in an IRA. All of a sudden, they lose 20% withholding. They don't make it up. All of a sudden, they're down 20% for no reason, something that could have totally been avoided if they just did a direct transfer. I see big mistakes in beneficiary forms. After death, the wrong...
Now, that's a big one, Ed. The beneficiary form.
I mean, people worry about taxes. They say, oh, I'm getting hit with 20, 30, 50% tax. Well, if it goes to the wrong person, isn't that the same thing as 100% tax?
Right.
You lose it all. And people don't pay. And it's not that the people don't. I don't blame consumers. I blame the advisors and the financial institutions, because people believe that when they open an account with an institution, with an advisor, they actually believe this is taken care of. But it isn't in most cases, because most advisors are not that proactive, and especially the financial institutions. I just got an email today from an advisor who knew he made a mistake. He switched from one brokerage firm to another brokerage firm, and his accounts came over, but when they came over, they didn't update the beneficiary forms, and he just had a client that died, and of course there's no beneficiary. Now it goes to the estate, and the estate goes to different people than it should have gone to, and it's a mess, and you're not going to be able to fix that.
You know, Ed, and every time a client comes see us, we meet with our clients maybe once or twice a year. Every time we meet with them, we go over their beneficiary designations. And despite that, we find that we're fixing their beneficiary forms every, you know, one out of every 10 clients that come in. And that's,
well, because
that's,
life happens.
Life
People
happens.
Get divorced. They don't take the ex-spouse off. That's probably one of the big mistakes.
Absolutely. All kinds of things like that. So you're absolutely right. That beneficiary form is critical. And I can't tell you how many times we work with clients or are dealing with it. I have a guy right now, inherited IRAs. His mother, he's the only child. Her husband died years ago. He's the only child, and he's not named as a beneficiary on three of her IRA accounts.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. It's
right.
ridiculous, and it's going to cost him dearly for that mistake, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't him. It wasn't his mother. I agree
right,
with you.
It's people, they hear these or see the ads on TV, on the, hear it on radio, wherever, in the newspapers every day. That, and you feel, well, if I open an account with this institution, they, you know, they say IRA everywhere. They must really know what they're doing. They don't check this stuff.
Hey, Ed, the chapter number 2 in your book is entitled The Name of the Game is Income. Talk a little bit about that for us.
Well, you have to have income, obviously, because if you don't have income, you can't spend and invest. So obviously the money's got to come from somewhere. I get this question all the time. People say, "Where am I?" You asked it early on.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to get the money to put in retirement?
Sure.
Well, obviously you have to have a job. And in fact, I just did a TV spot for I forget one of the big networks, and it was a young news anchor, and she said, "Well, what about unemployed people? Well, where are they going to get money for retirement?" I said, "From nowhere, because they're unemployed."
Right.
I mean, you can't make it appear. You have to earn it at some point.
Ed, you know, you talked about going through your path, a couple years of community college, getting through an accounting degree that you didn't particularly love, but knowing that you had to do it. I've found that one of the most important things young people can do to establish themselves with a great income stream in life is to really find a career that meets who they are as a person, their gifts, their abilities, and what it is that they really are passionate about doing. No one would doubt your passion for what you do today.
Right.
What encouragement might you have for young folks on that path?
Well, I agree with the whole passion thing. Do what you love and the money will come. But you really, even if you do what you love, there's always parts that are not fun.
Sure.
And I find it with my kids and their friends. You know, the young people, they say, well, I'm doing what I love, but, you know, I don't love every part. Well, you're never going to love every part of
yeah.
it. I mean, that's just life. Everything you do, I mean, even if you're a baseball player, you know, there's things you don't, maybe you don't like to travel. I mean, you know, nothing is perfect.
Well, another thing, too, that's a key to your success, Ed, is that you focused on becoming the go-to person for a specific topic. And no matter what industry you're in, you can be that go-to person for something. And would you agree that that is a key?
Yeah, I read that years ago. I didn't know where my calling would be. I came out as a graduate accountant, like every accountant.
Mm-hmm.
I was a regular accountant. And I knew I wanted something more than that. And I read this book, or maybe it was, I don't even remember, but I think it was called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I've heard that. I did.
Yeah.
I've read that book.
And one of the things, one of the laws was, if you can't be first in something, create something you can be first in.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I said, well, everybody's an accountant. Everybody knows taxes. So what about something that nobody is talking about? And I wasn't really looking for it until it hit me back in the 80s that they created all these rules and retirement accounts. I said, you know, years from now, people are going to start to withdraw this money, and nobody's going to understand what to do, the tax impact, and, you know, this is complicated stuff, and it still is. But still, most people haven't, professionals haven't really gained expertise or specialized knowledge in this area. So that's something that the light bulb went on for me. I said, this is going to affect everyone, and nobody knows anything about it.
Now, wouldn't you, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but I know I've studied a lot about the IRA laws, 401k laws, and so forth, but I'm always amazed how many times I read an article by somebody else and I pick up something that I never thought of. I don't know, you know.
It's always learning.
It's the old saying that the older I get, the more I realize how much I don't know.
Right. People that come, even the advisors that come to our advisor training program, we have our extended 2-day programs, our elite programs for advisors that really want to get a super education. Oh, usually within the first hour or two of the 2-day program, the light goes on and the advisors start to say, I didn't know how much I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because once you start learning, you start to realize how much there is in this area.
Yeah. Ed, you're going to have to hold on because right now this is the part of our show where Timmy, TJ, tells us something we need to know. Right, T?
I would be glad to do that, Drew. You need to know 5 things we can all learn from millennials. It's become enormously popular to publicly lecture 20-somethings on their wayward ways. I'm not a 20-something, but my regular interaction with the millennial generation as a college instructor leads me to conclude that we may just have more to learn from 20-somethings about life, work, and money than we have to teach them. I'll give you five things. First, life needn't be so strictly compartmentalized. Work, family, leisure, service, worship, and artistic expression are elements of life that remain segregated for most. But this schizophrenia of roles leads to inauthentic living in one or more of these venues and can drive us crazy. Millennials have little patience for inauthenticity and challenge us to be who we are. Number two, you have permission to be more of who you are and less of who people want you to be. There's an externally successful business owner who shows up at my gym for his morning workout dressed to the nines in a suit and tie. He didn't come from a meeting. He just thinks it's important to send a message everywhere he goes that he is successful, and he's happy to announce it. The millennial's refusal to engage in such posturing is often mistaken for aloofness or apathy, but it's really more about a healthy yearning for authenticity. Number three, being miserably busy is not a good measure of self-worth. Busyness is no virtue. It leads to forgetfulness, distraction, and tardiness, and it's exhausting. Four, work and life aren't something to be balanced, but instead something to be integrated. That we must balance work and life implies that they are seemingly opposed forces incapable of being effectively blended. But the most effective leaders and satisfied employees find ways to bring work to life by inviting more life to work. Lastly, number five, traditional education is overrated. While millennials are known for having overpaid for higher education, their dissatisfaction with what they got out of the experience, fueled by their hatred of the loans that now burden them, are serving to ensure that they and their children will spearhead the biggest education overhaul in a couple of centuries. The millennial generation, in total 80 million people, is not perfect, but they are no less perfect than preceding generations and may just have something to teach us. And that is something you need to know.
I love the winter weather.
You love the weather?
The winter weather, Drew. The winter weather.
I don't like it.
This is a winter. I know you don't. You're wearing Under Armour head to toe, right?
I still have my jacket on. I don't want to.
You got heat gear going.
Anyway, we're moving on.
Some of us enjoy it, though.
We're talking with Ed Slott about his book, Fund Your Future, and he's talking about how the 20s and 30s can use these IRAs, 401ks, Roths, to do, really to accumulate a good bit of money over time. Warren Buffett calls it the snowball. Take a little snowball and start rolling it and see what happens. And I wanted to honor you because many years ago, I don't even know how long ago it was, I was at a Schwab conference and you were there. It was the first time I ever heard you talk, and you mentioned your IRA newsletter. And so I said, hey, I really like this guy. I like what he's talking about. I got to get this. And I get your IRA newsletter. I've been reading it. I can't even tell you how many years, probably 13. I don't even know if you've been doing it. How long you've been doing it?
16 years.
I think I've been reading it since 2000. Okay.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. And the very first time I bought your newsletter, I read like two copies of it. And there was an article in there about a private letter ruling about somebody who blew a 72T, that substantially equal periodic payment, blew it, and how it was resolved in the private letter ruling. And you talked about how you would, advise somebody if you had a similar situation, what you ought to think about and what you ought to do. And lo and behold, about a month later, I had a situation just like that. And that newsletter guided me through that and helped rectify that for that client in a way that was far more cost effective than it would have ever been if we were going blind without any guidance or understanding. I can't tell you how many times your newsletter has done that for me in these 13 years. So I really appreciate that, the work that you do.
Well, I'm glad. When I started that newsletter, like I said, 16 years ago, people said, how are you going to write 8 pages a month just on how to take money out of an IRA? And we've been going strong. We ended up editing virtually every issue you see is cut down almost in half by the time you get it. That's how much new information is coming out, whether it's changing tax laws, mistakes people make, mistakes people could make, their advisors make, new cases, rulings, like you say. And it's just coming out, and it's affecting more people than ever because more people are in transition with their retirement savings.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in tonight, you've missed out on a great show with Ed Slott, America's IRA expert. We've been discussing his newest book, Fund Your Future, Tax Smart Savings Plan in Your 20s and 30s. And if you were just tuning in tonight, you don't know that we've actually been giving away some copies of Ed's newest book. So if you are a 20 or 30-something or a parent who thinks it might be a great Christmas gift, that should be all of you, we're going to give away two more copies right now. Call 410-922-6680. We're going to give a copy to the third and fourth caller in this case. We're going to change it up and get a little crazy, Drew. Again, 410-922-6680. Ed, one of the things that I appreciate about you is that you are the advisor to the advisor. So guys like Drew and I are enjoying your education. We're disseminating, hopefully, this wisdom to our clients, and there are many, many others out there. One of the things that interests me about the financial planning business or the financial services industry is that it seems as though the industry is distancing itself even further from those in their 20s and 30s as minimums increase and big, huge brokerage firms, banks, and insurance companies in some cases are cutting out commissions and fees altogether for clients that have less than hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest. Where do you think this leaves 20 and 30 somethings, and is there hope for somebody who is looking for some additional guidance beyond your book?
Yeah, that is a concern, because obviously people in business, financial advisors, want to work with people that have more money so they'll be better clients. But I see a lot of smart advisors working with their clients' grandchildren and children as a long-term for low or no fee, whatever they make arrangements with, for as a long-term succession plan as part of the client, being the next client. Because guess what? Those people are going to inherit that money and probably stay on as a good client, and you could help the client, and the client could help the advisor. So I've seen a lot of advisors actually bring, when they do seminars, they encourage their clients to bring children, even grandchildren.
Sure.
I've been at some seminars where there's three generations of a family at the same program.
Wow. You know, our firm did that. We created what we called the action plan, just specifically designed to help that 20 or 30 come in. And it's not the full planning that we do, but it really gets them into the straight and narrow, and it's very cost effective. So we've done that same thing and think it's a great strategy.
I think so, too. And people appreciate it. I know grandparents and parents love when you bring in the kids, and the kids want to learn about this. They just don't know where to go. And I'll tell you, you know, there's nothing better than a referral from a parent.
Absolutely.
You know, the number one thing, though, I'll go back to it, that the 20 and 30s that come to us to do action plans, the number one thing is they're making $100,000, $200,000, and they can't save. That's the number one thing I deal with 20s and 30s.
Yep.
I don't know anybody who makes $100,000, $200,000. If they can't save, they've got spending problems.
There's no
I thought, you know, generally it's somebody who's making $30,000, $40,000 in their first job. There I even understand it's hard to save. But even in that case, you got to take it off the top, pay yourself first, and it's got to be a process, automatic.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point you make. Regardless of where you are, you have to know yourself first. If you are a spendthrift type person, or you even tend to be a spender, you know, there are also hoarders, people that store up too much money. I know that sounds a little crazy for financial planners to be talking about that, but we've seen it happen. In this instance, though, if you tend to be a spender, you just have to automate it, like you say.
Right.
Have it automatically in your 401k.
Make that part of your spending.
Absolutely.
On you.
And then you don't actually have to feel guilty about spending everything that's left over if you've already paid yourself first, as you've said.
Yeah.
Do you have any, do you recommend any kind of budgeting or online services and so forth?
No, because the kids all know better than me on every different app. They've got every app in the, you don't even need an app. Take it off the top and put it in a Roth IRA. There's your app.
And we only have about a minute, but I have to talk about this. And one of the other big mistakes I see with IRAs is they come in to, you know, and I look at their tax return. I know immediately they've done it with TurboTax, and they've applied penalties to themselves. I don't know if you see this, but I see it about one out of every five times. 20% of the time, they got penalties for HSAs, penalties for IRAs that they've instilled on themselves because they just didn't know how the program was working.
Well, again, you have to get competent help. You know, we don't see that because, remember, as an accounting firm also, we do the returns.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't see people who do their own returns like you do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but you talk about it at the end of the book. Two heads are better than one. Get
right.
Competent help.
Right. You got to have competent help. And it really costs you nothing. You know, long run, you're way ahead of the game if you have the right person.
And, you know, as usual, when you're talking to somebody as fun as you, the show just flies by. The show is over.
It's over. How can that be?
I don't know, but it is. But we appreciate it. And your website, again, is IRAHelp.com.
IRAHelp.com, and you could also go to theslotreport.com.
That's great. Ed, we really appreciate your time here with us.
Great to be there with you. Thanks.
Anyway, Ed Slott, Fund Your Future. You can get that book at those websites. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Radio 680.